It's easy to have faith when life is good. Faith in humanity, faith in the goodness and meaning of life, and faith that, behind it all, there is a real God who is with us and loves us. But then life happens. Real life. Hard life. Nothing turns out quite like we think it will. If you've been there, or if you are there right now, I get it. Boy, do I get it. And that is why I am glad you are here. Because when you and I choose to pull together rather than push apart, the very thing that held the power to destroy us becomes the means to helping us find the life and relationships we've always been looking for. I'm Michelle Cashatt, and welcome to This Undone Life Together. Good morning, friends. Here, and it's Wednesday morning, so it's This Undone Life Together, and I'm so happy to see you. I hope you're doing well, having a good week. And for those who aren't familiar, This Undone Life Together, I do about once a week, every Wednesday. I won't do it 52 weeks out of the year, but basically Wednesday's 9 a.m. Mountain Time. I show up here and we just create space for honest conversations about the difficult tensions between real faith and real life. And it's just all about being able to talk about the really hard things about our faith and our life and coming up with practical tools to be able to get through. For those of you who aren't familiar with me, I've had quite an interesting history, definitely not an easy history, for about 20 plus years now. So I've, what I say is I've become a somewhat reluctant expert in pain, trauma, and suffering and dealing with circumstances that are beyond our control and feel impossible to overcome. So I, for one, just want to say I'm so glad you're here. I love doing this life together. Today I'm talking about something that most of us deal with at some point or another. And if you haven't dealt with it yet, you will. It's very simply, it's fear. Now, for those of you who think that fear is just not an issue, neither did I. I did not think that I would ever be someone who would deal with fear because, you know, I'm kind of a tough cookie. I grew up one of those girls that was not afraid to try hard things, was not afraid of hard work, was not afraid of discomfort or anything like that. So I really thought that fear would not be an issue until, at 39 years of age, I faced my own mortality with a pretty significant cancer diagnosis. And then when I dealt with it two more times after that, and then as I've parented six children, three of whom have come from a history of significant abuse and neglect. So all of that has forced me to realize that as strong as I thought I was, that at times life can be just downright terrifying. And what do you do when that happens? So pause for a minute. I'm gonna tell you about something that happened last week because I try to keep everything that we talk about here real time. Not something in the past, but something real time right here, right now. Last week, in the middle of the week, for no reason in particular, I had a couple days where starting about 4 o'clock, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was gripped by an almost incapacitating fear, all right? I can't even hardly describe it. And I couldn't point my finger to it, but it was one of those kind of fears that had me by the throat. I mean, I just felt overwhelmed with fear and it baffled me. And the first day, I have to tell you, it made me panic. I'm like, what is this all about? What's going on? And it was awful. It was awful. Now I have to tell you, it's been going on 9 years since my first cancer diagnosis. So I've been dealing with these kind of hard things for a long time now. And I haven't dealt with fear like that in a couple years, several years. Fear doesn't usually wreak havoc with me anymore, not significantly. I have moments, but usually it's not a big deal. But last week it was almost debilitating. And I'm like, what in the world? What the heck? What's going on? Why am I having this overwhelming fear? And it didn't just last one day. It lasted about 3 or 4 days, which, let me tell you, anybody who's ever dealt with that knows how just every minute seems very, very long. Now, what I want to talk to you about is two different types of fear. There's generalized fear. Generalized fear is, we all have things that we're nervous about or afraid of or things that make us panic, like public speaking, talking on video, or hanging out in the school pickup line can be terrifying, or I don't know, going home for the holidays and spending time with the extended family can bring up a certain measure of anxiety or fear. That's more of a generalized fear and anxiety. We all have things that just make us uncomfortable or cause us a little bit of stress and anxiety. And then there's this very specific kind of fear, which is really more of a triggered fear. And it creates this significant biological response where your body is like truly going into that kind of fight, flight, freeze mode. And that's what I was experiencing last week, that kind of choking fear. So if you have ever experienced that or are there right now, I just want to say, I get it. I know what that feels like. I'm no longer ignorant to its reality. I've experienced it and it really is debilitating. It just is so overwhelming. And when it happens in those moments, you can hardly think through how to overcome it because you are purely in that, your brainstem, you were in your brainstem in that kind of fight, flight, freeze mode of just trying to survive and overcome. So what we have to do is somehow get you from that that place of survival to being able to use your executive function to process through that. That's not easily done. So let me just tell you what I did last week. First of all, the first day of this debilitating fear, I didn't handle abuse. I went right back to my old patterns of panicking, worrying, emotion, all of that kind of stuff. By the second day, I went, okay, I know what to do here. We're gonna do this differently this time. And I'm gonna give you basically five steps that I walked through to overcoming this kind of debilitating fear. And they really work, I promise. All right, so first step is to acknowledge it. The first step is to acknowledge it. Fear grows in silence. The more we try to ignore it and stuff it, it actually multiplies and grows. So you need to just acknowledge what is. Man, I'm feeling this kind of incapacitating fear right now. I have no idea why, but this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. Now, there's a difference between rumination and acknowledgement, right? So we want to be careful not to swing to the side of ruminating on what we're afraid of, but to simply acknowledge this is what I'm experiencing right now, right? Not ruminating, but yes, acknowledging. Two, share it. Last week, when I started having these moments of fear, and again, since it was the first time I had experienced it in probably 3 years or so, I was like blown away. I'm like, what is going on? I thought I was over this. One of the first things I did was to invite a few of my closest friends into it. So two of my friends I contacted on Voxer, and I told them, this is what's going on. I'm aware of it. I'm acknowledging it. But I believe there could be a spiritual element to this. And I just need you to pray over this with me. Just, I need you to know that this is what I'm dealing with. And I need to know that I have a couple of people in my corner. And so a couple of my friends, I sent a Voxer and let them know. A couple other friends I texted and let them know. And to their credit, every single one of them said, I'm on it. I'm with you. We're going to get through this. It was a beautiful thing. But I needed to not be alone because fear multiplies in silence, but fear also multiplies in isolation. And two of the biggest steps you can take when you have a moment of fear is just to name it and acknowledge it. And two, to invite somebody into it with you, to let them know, to share it with somebody and say, this is what's going on. Third step. The third step is to explore it a little bit. When we get into the emotionally reactive place, that kind of fight, flight, freeze place of fear, like I said, we're in the brain stem. We need to get up to the frontal cortex, up to that executive function place. And the way to do that is to transition yourself from being a victim of fear to being a student of it. Okay, from being a victim of fear to being a student of it. So from that standpoint, you become curious about it. So that's what I did. I'm like, okay, where is this coming from? I wanted to explore it. Where is this fear coming from? And I started to think through what had happened in the week before that might have led me to this place. A couple things. I had been sick for 4 to 5 weeks, right? Long, long time. A respiratory virus. I had finally gotten to the doctor. She gave me an antibiotic, but the antibiotic wasn't working yet. So I had this anxiety of, is it going to work? Anytime I have an illness that causes pain from here to here, this is where cancer was treated. Anytime I have pain from here to here, it automatically triggers almost like a flashback to that very, very long year of extreme pain. All right. So being aware of, I'd been sick for a long time. I was worn down. I was having pain in my head and neck, which naturally triggers that. And then on top of that, I had had a bunch of travel as well, that had just left me worn out. And then the final thing that I had to think about and be a student of is that I've done more research on pain and trauma. There is something called cellular memory. In other words, your body remembers the trauma that it's gone through. All right. And if you've never heard of that before, do some online research. It's fascinating. But basically, my trauma was medical trauma. I had gone through a significant medical trauma that truly did mark me physiologically. And, all right, the worst part of my whole treatment when I was really on the verge of death was 4 years ago, right now. It was February of 2015. So all of a sudden, as I became a student of this and I stayed curious about it, I realized that there is some reality, some physiological reality of my body remembering what it had gone through 4 years ago, right now, something called cellular memory. So I started to make a list of all these things. What it did is I started to think through and explore my fear. I started to see the good reasons for why my body was responding the way it was. Now, this is so key, all right? As I became a student of it and not a victim of it, as I started to understand it and explore it more, it didn't have so much of a hold on me. Okay? This is so key. I just can't even tell you. This is so important. What typically happens when we have a moment of panic or fear of anxiety is we start freaking out. Okay? We freak out and we complicate the fear and anxiety by saying things like, "Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? What's going on? I don't know what's happening." And we ask these questions without actually stopping to explore it. And when I stopped and tried to and started to make a kind of a list and understanding why my body, why my brain, why my soul heart was responding the way it does, it made sense. Okay. And that got me out of the fight, flight, freeze place and into more of the executive function of my brain, where I was a student of it and not merely a victim of it. So that's step number three. Step number four is to anchor it. And by anchor it, I don't mean you anchor the fear so you're hanging on to it, but you anchor it to facts. Fear thrives on ambiguity. All right? Fear thrives on ambiguity, nebulous ideas and possibilities. The best way, the next step, the next part of this process to taking to facing down fear is to anchor it in facts. Okay? And the truth is last week, the facts were I was tired. I was worn down. my body was remembering what happened 4 years ago. And also to anchor it in facts that are outside my realm of experience. So I put together a few years ago something on my website that's a single page of Bible verses all about fear. And going back to the truth about what God says about who He is in places of fear and His absolute ability to be trusted in those places anchors down my fear with facts, facts that are even bigger and stronger and more solid than me and my own ability to understand what's happening. So by the way, side note, you can get that printable with all of those verses on my website. You simply need to sign up. There's an email sign up on my website, then you'll have access to an entire resource page where you will get, you can print it off for free. And just so you know, if you want to sign up, get the resource, and then unsubscribe, that is no problem. I totally understand if you don't want to be subscribed. You just have to put in your email to get it, and then you can unsubscribe and you won't hear from me, I promise. Okay, so four steps so far. Acknowledge it, share it, explore it, anchor it, and then the final step with facing down fear, when fear has that chokehold on you, is to reframe it. Reframe it. When you're in those moments where you feel that debilitating fear or panic or whatever it is, it feels like it's never going to end. There's this sense that this is going to be here forever and ever and ever. It will never end. And oh my gosh, I can't handle it, right? So you need to reframe it. And this was something my husband reminded me of on day number one of the fear that helped change the next 3 days. He said, "It will pass, Michelle. You know it will. It will pass." so simple, but I've forgotten that. I've forgotten. It will pass. It will not last forever. It's not going to set up shop and move in and take up residence. It will pass. It's a moment. It's temporary. And simply hearing him say that, but then giving myself permission to say over and over again over those 3 to 4 days, it will pass. It will not last. It will pass. And let me tell you, each day following, it got less and less until now for the last week or so. Totally fine. Totally fine. This really does work. Sometimes it takes longer than other times. Sometimes it takes more than just a couple days. Sometimes you have to continue, go through these steps over and over again, acknowledge it, share it, explore it, anchor it, and reframe it. But it does work. And our goal, friends, is not to live afraid. I have no ability to control the number of my days, none whatsoever. I mean, I can eat healthy, I can exercise, but I did all of that before and I still ended up with a life-threatening illness. We have no ability to control all the decisions our children will make. We have no ability to control what our employers or employees will do. We have very little control. We like to think we have lots. We have very little control. There are all kinds of things that can happen that we can't predict or control. But we can choose whether we stay in a place of chronic debilitating fear or not. We can choose that. We can at least fight back a little bit. I think I will always have a certain measure of anxiety related to my medical trauma, but I don't have to just sit back and take it either. I can fight back. I can push through. I can choose to not just receive it and dwell in it and ruminate on it, but actually to push through it to the other side. Because if I do, it will pass. It will pass. All right, friends. So before I go, I'm going to ask you to let me know what you have found helpful when you deal with moments of a more specific, debilitating, overwhelming fear. What are some strategies that you have used? Have you used any of the ones I suggested today? How have they worked for you? But send me a message or leave a comment on what strategies have worked for you or one of the five that I gave you today that you're going to try. I really do want to hear this because there are too many of us living in this chronic anxiety and fear. And I don't want that for us. And I don't think God wants that for us either. We should be, let's put it this way. I think God wants for us to have more joy and more peace, right? And I want us to learn helpful strategies to be able to push back, to face it, and to push through it rather than succumbing to it. So there you go. That's my biggest insight from the last week. Real-time stuff that I'm dealing with at this these intersections of real faith, real life. And once again, I just love doing this Undone Life with you. I cannot wait to hear your insights on how you deal with fear on a daily basis. Thanks for being with me, friends. We'll see you again next week. Have a good one. Whatever led you here today, I want you to know two things before you go. You aren't alone, not even close. And two, you matter and your story matters. We need you more than you know. Thank you for joining me today, my friends. Have a question or comment? Share it below, please. Do you know a loved one who could use a little hope and community too? Share this episode with them. And to be sure you don't miss our time together, subscribe to this podcast and my YouTube channel, and you'll be notified each time I post a new episode. Until then, brothers and sisters, I love you, and I love doing this Undone Life together.